Sure have enjoyed this afternoon, especially enjoyed the singing and the sweet prayer that's been offered. The good fellowship we had beforehand was a great blessing as well, and we're very, very thankful for that. It's good to sit together with brethren and share food together as well as sweet fellowship, and that just seems to make things especially sweet. So just pray for me as I stand before you this afternoon. I've got a particular passage of scripture that's been on my mind, and I don't believe I've ever made an effort to speak on this particular passage before, and I do feel so much the need of the Lord's blessing to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. And we all know that if we are able to preach, it'll come from the Lord. And if not, then we'll read the word together. Be thankful we had a good song service, and Lord has blessed us with prayer. And to feel His presence one more time is a great, great blessing. As Brother London said in his prayer, it's just a wonderful thing to feel like you belong to Him, and to hear that assurance from His word to us is one of the things that makes the gospel good news. As cold water is to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. That good news is what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. And because of what He has done for us, what a blessing we have in having life here in this world and a hope of being with Him forever in heaven and immortal glory. If you have your Bibles and like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you from the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 16. I'd like to begin right at the first verse. We'll read down to probably about verse 12, maybe through verse 13. These are the words of Jesus. He's also speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes that had gathered here, and His disciples were with Him. It says in the first verse of Luke chapter 16, says, "And He said also unto His disciples, There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And He called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye had not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Verse 13 says, No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Of course, verse 14, And the Pharisees also who were covetous heard all these things, and they derided him. So not only was he speaking to his disciples, but he was also speaking to those scribes and Pharisees on this occasion. It says, And he said also unto his disciples, speaking directly to his disciples, he tells them about a certain rich man which had a steward. And a steward was one that was in charge of this rich man's goods. In other words, they weren't his goods that he was handling. The rich man had put him in a place where he was in charge of taking care of his business. That's really what the Lord, in a sense, has given us as a responsibility, as stewards of the mysteries of God. As we meet here together as God's little children, the Lord has given us a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And he's called us to take those things that are his, to share those with God's little children as stewards of God. We're accountable unto the God of heaven for how we are, or how we are using that which God has given us. That's really talking about all the talents that God's little children have. And we all have different talents. Not everybody's called to be a minister of the gospel. Not everybody is called to do the particular things that some are called to do. But I do know this, that there are a diversity of gifts that are given to the Lord's church. And down through the years, it's been a real blessing for me to witness the way the Lord deals. He deals even with preachers, that he gives some ministers a different gift than other ministers. As a matter of fact, they all have their own gift. Some have the ability to speak from the Word and just feed you on the simplicity of the gospel and the wonderful messages there. Some have a teaching kind of gift where they can explain some things that seem to be hard to understand. And some have gifts to go to the Old Testament and point out the types and shadows of the Old Testament and point to the New Testament. And some cause you to cry every time they get in the stand. Some cause you to rejoice and laugh. And some, you know, get real serious. But the Lord feeds his children with a diversity of gifts. I'm really, really thankful that all preachers aren't the same. An old Baptist has never made an effort or an attempt, nor has the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ made an effort or attempt to make all their preachers the same. Now, we want to preach the same truth. We want to preach from the same Bible. We want to preach the same Jesus. We want to preach the same gospel. But the differences in God's little children are given to them by the Holy Spirit, that the Lord's people who are different can also be fed in the various ways that they stand in need of. Isn't it wonderful today that we're going to trust and need to be trusting in the Lord to supply what we stand in need of in a preaching way and in every other way? As well as that's true, the Lord has given each one of you as God's little children that talent, that gift that God has given you. I'm thankful that God has given some of the gift to, as Brother Terry said, to be a plumber or to be an electrician or to be able to do this or that. Some have given just gifts of where, you know, they're able to greet folks that come into the meeting house and able to, you know, just happy people. And some have been given the gift of cooking. And I'm glad of that. I'm glad for that gift. Some have been given given a gift of hospitality. They just make everybody friendly. And it's good, and I'm thankful that not all of us are the same. That would be like having your body made up of, if your toe was like your hand, or your hand doing like your toe, or you had certain parts of the body trying to be other parts. The Lord has given us the ability to do what He's called us to do, and you and I are to be good stewards of what the Lord has given us to do. As a minister of the gospel, I'm responsible to God to be a student of God's Word, to study the Word. I'm also responsible to God to be praying and asking God to bless us as we come and meet together with liberty to preach that truth. I'm also responsible unto God to, when I have the opportunity to speak to God's people and the Lord leads me in that opportunity and gives me direction to do that, that I'm to do that faithfully, discharging my duty as the Lord would lead me. I also have the responsibility when the Lord is not with me and I'm standing before God's people, I need to stop and sit down and simply not speak. And there's wisdom in knowing when, isn't it true that it's wisdom in knowing when to speak and when not to speak, what to say, when to say it. And when we leave it in God's hands and we trust the Lord for that, we don't mess up. But when we try to do it and try to figure it out, try to manufacture it, You know, I don't want to hear manufactured preaching, do you? I want to hear preaching that comes from the Lord. I don't want to have our fellowship to be manufactured. That's not real. I want it to be genuine. And when the Lord's in the matter, what we have is genuine. It's genuine and it's real and it's different. It's different than what the world has. And it'll feed your heart and it'll feed your soul. And it's more valuable than all of the mammon, all of the unrighteous riches that are in this world. If we had all the money in this world, all the money in Front Royal, all the money in the state of Virginia, and we had all of that, and we'd miss what we're enjoying right now in fellowship with God and in fellowship with one another in the Lord's church, we would be much poorer. You know, you say, well, you don't know how poor I am, Brother Gary. Well, I'm not worried about what you are monetarily. I know this. You're rich in the Lord. And the Lord said, having food and raiment, we sure had a good food there a minute ago, and all of us are wearing some raiment, and you know, and we're blessed to have that. And having food and raiment, we're to what? Be there with what? Content. And if we're and godliness, that is seeking the Lord and looking to Him and leaning upon Him. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And what does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? That is, lose that spiritual fellowship with the Lord, his spiritual life. He can't lose an eternal life that's given to him by God. By the very definition of eternal, you can't lose it. If you could lose it, it could not be eternal. You see that? Because if you could lose it, then it wouldn't be forever. And eternal is forever. And the life the Lord gives us is forever. So you can't lose your eternal life, which has been given to you by Almighty God. But you can lose the joys of it. And you can lose your own soul in the sense you have lose the fellowship. See, as a minister of the gospel, I want those of the Lord's people I come in contact with to be encouraged, to enjoy your life, to be happy in the Lord, to lean upon the Lord, to come unto the Lord, to trust in Him for every step, for every moment as we walk along life's way. We want to trust and lean upon the Lord. And we want to be that which is a good steward. He says, and here's, he gives this example, and it's an example that you could, if you read this just on the surface, you could draw some things that we know can't be true from the teachings of this, because there are many places in the Bible that would refute that. We might get to that, and you know, I don't want to get to what it doesn't teach before I talk a little bit about what it does teach. And I'll try to be, I know the time's moving on, I'll try to not just leave this hanging somewhere. I'll try to rush through it where you don't get any of it. But anyway, we'll pray for me. It says, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. In other words, the man who had the goods came to the steward and said, you've been wasting what I have. And you've been wasting it. Now, I really believe all of us could look at what the Lord's given us, and there's not a one of us who could say, I've used everything He's given me just the way I ought to. I don't believe there's one of us who could say that. I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, aren't you? I'm thankful for the forgiveness of sins. I'm thankful for a Lord who knew what a mess I was, and because He knew what a mess I was, sent His only begotten Son to pay a sin debt for me, that I might not lose my eternal fellowship with Almighty God or lose my life. That salvation is by the grace of God. It's not by me getting it right and doing it right. But I also know, because the Lord has done that for me, I have every duty and responsibility to be as good a steward of what the Lord gives me as I can be. I believe the Lord blesses us with natural things, and I don't think we should waste those things. I think it's a sin when you and I take what the Lord's blessed us with and just waste it. Like the prodigal son went out and wasted his living on riot, he wasted his substance on riotous living. I believe that dishonors the Lord. And so we should live the very best we can, using what God has given us as wisely as we can, in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. That's speaking about things naturally. And the first thing he's pointing to is a natural example of one who is identified in this story, in this lesson, as the unjust steward. which means he's not going to do things right. He's an unjust steward. He's an unrighteous steward. He's not a good steward. So he's using that lesson to teach us. He says, and he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship. In other words, he calls him and he says, okay, what have you been doing with my money? You know, he already knew what he'd been doing, but he called him out on it. And notice this language. What a frightful thing this would be to hear from our Savior, from our Lord. He said, for thou mayest be no longer steward. In other words, it isn't debatable. That's exactly what he said. You know, it's in our vernacular today, you're fired. You're out. You're no longer going to be steward. And this is your notice, and evidently had a little bit of time because this fellow knew my job's gone. He had lived, he had done this, he had not been a good steward, he had wasted his Lord's money, and therefore he was fired. And then the steward said within himself, now listen to this, here's natural man. Remember, he's an unjust steward. This is natural man. He says, what shall I do? Okay, I'm fired. For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. That means he's fired. He said, I cannot dig. Now, he didn't say, I'm sick and I cannot dig. I believe it's really saying he's too lazy to dig. In other words, I'm not going to do that after I've lived here and done this. I'm not going to go down and have to take another job where I look. That would be, my pride won't allow me to do that. And you know, pride gets in our way, doesn't it, in this old world? You know, there are some folks that says, well, I know there's a job over there, but I'm not going to do that kind of job. But they have no problem going to someone else and getting that from them. And where does that come from? Well, I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes out of our old nature. You and I have that nature, that old prideful nature. Now, this is an unjust steward. So he later at the end, the Lord commends the steward. But he doesn't commend him for all of his behaviors. He does commend him for the wisdom to know he's going to have something take care of him. In other words, he's going to have to figure out some way to take care of himself. He's going to have to figure that out somehow. He didn't necessarily say the way you got it figured out is right. He's an unjust steward. He doesn't come and turn to be a dude. But what he had done in the way that he did it was not right. But he did commend him that he was doing those things that in his mind, as a man of the world, was in his best interest for this time and for this place that we're in. Today we want to think about what's best. Number one, what's best for us as God's little children. Now I know that's not number one altogether, but I want us to see that what really ought to be number one for us is going to be also best for us as God's children. What is number one above everything? Honoring and praising God. That's number one. And when God's little children are about honoring and praising God, they're about listening to their Lord, they're about being good stewards of what the Lord gives them, it's about the Lord then in turn as they walk in those blessings that God has given them and look to Him for more blessings, God continues, doesn't He? We have grace for grace, we receive blessings and blessings. In other words, when God blesses us and we walk in those blessings and look to the Lord, we have an ongoing continuance of the blessings of God. As we walk in the light that the Lord gives us, He'll give us more light. Have you found that to be the case? As you study God's Word and as you learn a little bit, what happens when you see a little bit? The next thing you know, the Lord allows you to see a little more, and then you see a little more. Sometimes you think, I've seen all I can see of that, and the Lord will send you some more light, and you say, well, I see things I couldn't see. And it's wonderful. The riches that we have before us today are unsearchable. And the joy that you've experienced, you've had some joy in the Lord, right? Don't you want more? There's a way to have more. The love that you feel among the brethren, don't you enjoy it? But there's a way for us to even enjoy it even more. And we haven't touched the fullness of it yet, because the riches of the Lord are unsearchable. His love, His joy, His peace, His long-suffering, His gentleness, His goodness, His faith, His meekness, His temperance, the fruit of the Spirit. Though we have received maybe 20-fold, there were some who received 40-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. And what our desire ought to be is like Elijah of old, who wanted a double portion of that Spirit that fell on the prophet Elisha. Remember Elisha? He said, "Lord, I desire a double portion." Somebody said, "Well, is he just wanting something?" No. If it's right, in the right direction. Now, why is it that you and I should want love more? Why is it that you and I should want joy more? Why is it just about satisfying our natural appetite? No. It shouldn't be about that. It ought to be that it pleases the Lord when His children bring forth much fruit. He said in John chapter 15, "Herein is my Father glorified when His children bring forth much fruit." That is why the vine is pruned back, in order that it might bring forth more fruit. The Lord is pleased when our little church, named Happy Creek, is truly happy. The Lord is pleased when our little church is loving one another the way they ought to love one another. When our little church is letting its light shine before men, that others may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. It's not about us just being happy and doing well. It's about pleasing the Lord. But guess what? When you please the Lord, you're happy and you do well. And that doesn't mean everything is always going smooth. As a matter of fact, it may mean things, naturally speaking, get worse. And that's where faith, which is a fruit of the Spirit, is so necessary. It may be where you say, "Well, what did I do to mess up? Because everything hard is coming my way." We sang that song about, "Through He filled my eyes with tears that I might see." When we sometimes are brought into those hard and difficult places, we get to see the glory of God, the power of God, the strength of God, the joy that's in the Lord, and all of those things even better than we do in the midst of good times. See, the man of the world can only be happy when everything's going well. And of course, he's happy in this world. This unjust steward had some wisdom that he desired to be taken care of. And the first thing he said, "I cannot dig, and to beg I am ashamed." In other words, what am I going to do? I got to figure out how I'm going to take care of myself. He said, I can't go digging because my pride won't get in the way. My pride gets in the way. And even to go begging, he said, I can't do that. I'm too ashamed to do that. So he figures out what he's going to do. And this is a man-made plan. Sounds like a man-made plan. He's going to make a deal. He's going to compromise. He's going to cut a deal. He says, "I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses." In other words, the people that I'm going to and taking their goods from them that belong, that are owed to my former boss or to my boss, I'm going to make a deal with them. I am going to manipulate and make a deal with them so that I'll get in their favor, so that when I'm kicked out, I can go over there and be with them. See, he's saying that was a wise move. The Lord commended the unjust to it, verse 8, because he had done wisely. How had he done wisely? It says, "For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." Keep this thought in your mind. God's little children have a harder time getting along in this world than other people who are not God's children. Those who are worldling get along better in this world, in this generation, than God's children get along in this generation. Well, the reason for that is they fit in. This old world is full of evil, and they fit in. They think like the world. They act like the world. That's what this unjust steward did. He said, "Okay, what am I going to do?" We go back up to that verse. He said, "So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him." Now, who are the debtors owing this to? The Lord. But who's going, you know, who's making a deal here? This man. Who's losing here? Well, the Lord, who had the things that were due him, are not going to be due him. But he's going to gain favor from this one by stealing, in a sense, from that one. That's kind of a man-made way to do things. Now listen, I may be able to come to apply this just in a little quick spiritual way. As a minister of the gospel, I might be able to come up here and say certain things that make the congregation happy and is pleasing to your ears and, you know, tickle everybody's ears and make everybody happy and smile that are really not the truth, and in turn or cause you to say things to you in order for you to give of your natural things to me. This world, God's little children in this world are being fleeced by a whole lot of people that are taking advantage, by a lot of men that are taking advantage of them by preaching and teaching things that are not correct in order that pocketbooks would be filled, and it's all about the money. And I'm not saying anything to you that you don't know. All we have to do is open our eyes up and see that. God forbid that any old Baptist church, that this church or any church as of the Lord Jesus Christ would ever be concerned about what comes in my pocket or anybody's pocket. If it ever gets to be about the money, then we've fallen back under that unjust steward category. And it's not about the money. What this is about is sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ with God's children. And guess what will happen? God will take care of His people. He'll take care of the congregation. He'll take care of the minister. He'll supply that which is needed. The Bible gives us direction about that. We're to be charitable givers. We're to help one another as we go. We're not to be in love with money. And when someone needs it, we ought to be willing to give it and be willing to let it go. That is what the lesson is really all about. It's about what is the best way for us as God's little children to get along in this world, both naturally and spiritually. The best way is to follow the Lord and to look to the Lord and do what He would have us to do. And God, as the hymn writer said, God will take care of you. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Now this debtor, this man wanted to, he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and he said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly. Why would he do it quickly? Because this is like a shady deal, right? We're going to do this quick, behind the scenes, sit. Isn't it wonderful how the Bible just comes right down in today's world and just lays mankind out? He says, here, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. In other words, we'll just get half. And what's that going to do? That's going to make him treat me good later. When I get kicked out of the job I've got a place to go. He'll take me into the house. And by the way, when they would take someone in their house in that day and time, it usually meant they took care of them from then on. Once they were received as the guest into their house and received in that way, they were receiving them in the sense, we'll take care of you. In other words, you take care of me and I'll take care of you. Isn't that the lesson of the world? God forbid that ever comes into our church. Where, if you pay your preacher, then you can pay him to stop. And if he's preaching for money, then you stop giving him money, he'll stop preaching. If you don't like what he preaches, you can give him something to preach something else. And I'm not saying this harshly. I say this with a heart that really bleeds, because there are many of God's little children sitting in congregations around this world that are hungry and thirsty for the truth and would do anything for it, including giving their last dime in order to feel better. And the good news is this: the Lord has given us the gospel free of charge to be preached without money, without price, and to honor and glorify the Lord. Now, does that mean the laborer is not worthy of his hire? No, the Bible teaches that, doesn't it? That the laborer is worthy of his hire. So there are things that we're to do to help one another. We had some of that today. I ate a meal, didn't have to pay a dime for it. Didn't have to pay a thing. It wasn't anything. It was a natural meal. It was a great blessing. Hopefully, you'll be able at the end of this meeting to have a spiritual meal, and you don't have to pay a dime for it. Now, if the Lord moves in our heart for us to help our brethren along the way, to pay for a hot dog or two, or whatever, to help along the course, all of that is good. But isn't it wonderful that none of that is absolutely required? It's just a blessing. It's just a blessing to give what the Lord has given to us and share it with one another. And you know who really, when it's done the right way, you know who really takes care of you? You know, somebody thinks, well, I don't know if I should give that little fellow over there. You know, he looks like he's a crook. And he's asking for money, but if I give him that money, I, I don't know that he might misuse that. He might do this. He might do that. And you never know who it is you might be helping along life's way. As we hear about those dear folks in Chicago and all that happened there, you never know who you might be helping along the way. We don't know what God's little children look like. There are some of them that look a whole lot different than us. They have a different skin color. They have a different lifestyle. They have many things. Jesus was called the what? The friend of publicans and sinners. And that's who our Savior was. That didn't mean he went and wallowed in the mire with them. Absolutely not. But he knew there were some of his little children that were in the highways and the byways of life. And when you and I turn all of... And that doesn't mean you waste what you have. Remember, we're to be good stewards. But it means as the Lord has blessed you, be willing to use what he's blessed you with to help others. And the Lord will take care of you. I'm not telling y'all something you don't know. You've experienced this already in your life. You've had him speak to you in that still small voice saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You've had that peace that comes when you know, when maybe you've gone and done all that you can do and you're wore out. You're just dead tired. I think of some of our union meetings. When you get through them, you go like, "Phew, glad we don't have those every weekend." Because you just feel so dead tired. But in another way, you go like, "Ooh, I'm sorry that it's over. Because what I've enjoyed in the fellowship of the brethren has been so much more than I could have ever put into it, no matter what I've done." I know sometimes you'll take a trip and maybe we'll be going down to Providence or one of the church meetings and you get up real early in the morning, you drive all the way down there and you sit in a meeting for 3 hours and hear 7, 8, 9, maybe 10 preachers, and then you head back up the road and your body physically just seems to be worn out and the world would just say, "You're silly and foolish to do that." And yet the Lord gives you that peace in your heart that, you know, it doesn't mean when you get home you're not tired. You will be tired. Physically, you'll be tired. But it's a good kind of tired. What you'll have today when you get finished, I pray, would be a good kind of tired. A good kind of tired. Where you feel at peace in your heart. Because you've been a good steward of what the Lord has blessed you to have. Now, the Lord commended this unjust steward. And he goes on, he says, "Take thy bill and write 80. The next one, he said unto another, "How much owest thou?" And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, "Take thy bill and write 80. Now I get tickled at this because he's not even consistent with what he's doing. Because on this one he goes, "You owe 100 measures? I'll get 80 out of you." The other one he had 100 measures of oil. He said, "I'm going to get 50 out of you." He's got a different deal for everybody. And you know, if you're in that kind of business, that's what you have. A different deal for everybody. The Lord doesn't have different deals. He deals with his children in like manner. That doesn't mean he treats them all exactly the same, but the principle is always the same. Isn't it wonderful that every time you open this Bible, it's going to say the same thing that it said last time? And the promises that were there yesterday are going to be there tomorrow. And the truth of it is going to continue to be there. Jesus Christ is not going to change. He's not an unjust Lord. He's not going to change. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that wonderful to know? We can count on that. Now, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. And get this, why did he commend him? Because he at least had taken some idea and thought into what's best for me. You know, sometimes we as God's children do things and don't have any thought about what this is going to mean down the road. It's important for you and I to take cause, take thought for what is the cause? What is it going to mean? When I compromise with the world, what is it going to mean? When I hold on to something I really want, when the Lord said get rid of it or let go of it, what does it mean for me? I'll give you an example of this over in Matthew 19. You have that young rich ruler. Who, remember, he came to follow the Lord and he had a love for the Lord and he had a desire to know more about eternal life, and he'd asked the Lord those questions and he'd really been wrapped up in his own self-righteousness. And over in Matthew 19, that young rich ruler came to the Lord and he said, "What good thing might I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord showed him the commandments and told him to keep the commandments. And he said, part some of the commandments, and he said, "All these I've kept from my youth up. And yet what lack I?" In other words, something's missing in my life. Something still isn't right. You know, isn't that true for God's little children? When you're doing what the Lord would have you to do, you have peace in your heart. But when you're not doing it, even if you don't know what it is, you know something's wrong. Have you ever had that happen in your life? Well, you didn't really know what was wrong, but you knew something was wrong. You didn't really know what you need, but you knew something was missing. Most of the time, that's what drives you to an old Baptist church, to come listen to the Word, to be fed, because you got something in you that's not being fulfilled. I was raised up among other people and listened to another doctrine for many years of my life and did not know what was wrong with it, but I always knew something was wrong with it because I always was feeling like I'm not going to be able to live up to what this person is saying for me to do. I can't keep all of these things that he's saying I've got to do. I want to be sure I'm a little child of God, and I was trying to get that assurance by doing what some minister was telling me to do in order to be really having peace with that. And I don't believe that minister was necessarily even insincere. He just didn't understand the fullness of God's grace. What a blessing it is today for us just to rest in God's grace. I hope you're resting in God's grace. That your only hope for heaven is just what Jesus did for me. It's not what Jesus did for me and what I've done. It's not what I'm doing or what I can do. It's just in complete, finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that alone. It says, the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Now, I encourage you to go over, and we won't take time to do that, but, and my goodness, time is way gone. Way over in the Old Testament, in Psalm 73, if you'll read Psalm 73, you'll see the expressions there of a brother. Asaph is the writer of that psalm, and he in that psalm expresses how the man of this world seems to get along in the world so much better than he was getting along. And as he looked at the world, he became envious of the world because he saw the wicked. It seemed like they did all these things wrong, and yet they seem to be doing better than I am, who's trying to do things right. That's the hymn we sang, the Brother Bobby's hymn, Tempted and Tried. We're all made to wonder why it should be all the day long. That hymn expresses the idea and the thought that those that are living in this world so wickedly seem to be getting along just fine, and God's little children seem to have every trouble in the world come their way. And sometimes we can begin to question, you know, is it vain for me to serve the Lord? And at the end of that psalm, really at the beginning of the psalm and at the end of the psalm, when he went down to the Lord's house, he saw how foolish that he was, that the end of the way of the wicked is a sad end. In other words, there is an end result that's going to be happening. If you're just happy all the time in this world and with the world, that doesn't bode well for what happens when you leave this world. God's little children are not going to be happy all the time in this world. We're going to have sorrows and sadness. And yet there's a happiness to be found, but it's not found in the mammon of unrighteousness. And I know I have about another hour of stuff to cover here, as if that would cover it. There would be more yet to say. Y'all looked at me like I'm nervous now. When's the Super Bowl game starting? And he says, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Now, when it says make to yourself friends of the mammons of unrighteousness, it doesn't mean go find somebody in the world and make a friend with them and become a friend to the world. We know the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible tells us to be what? Separate from the world. Not to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So what is this saying? It's saying the mammon of unrighteousness, the natural blessings, the riches that the Lord has given us, we should be willingly able to give those away, that the true friends that we have. What did he say to that young rich ruler? He said, the young rich ruler said, what lack I yet? And he says, take that which you have, all of it, and give it to the poor. And that's where he made friends among the poor. You know, who are the friends that should be the closest to us in this world? Who are those that we should have the fellowship with? And it's the poor. And I don't mean just in a spiritual sense, not just the natural poor, but the poor in spirit. One thing that makes, I believe, a fellowship among the brethren so special is that when you come among them, you find them afflicted and poor people. You don't find them heady. You don't find them high-minded. And you find them willing to give of what they have because they recognize everything that I have has come to me by the grace of God. And he says, I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, and who's going to fail? All of us. He says, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Isn't it wonderful to have a fellowship among the brethren that when you've messed up and when you fail, you have a place to come. You have a place to find. See, this place is not just for the righteous. Matter of fact, it's not for the righteous. It's a home for sinners. And I'm not meaning continuing and living in sin. I believe we ought to try to be a holy people, a separate people, but we all are going to fall, sin, and come short of the glory of God. And I'm thankful that we have a place where sinners come and have the friend of sinners among us, and we have fellowship with Him and the blessings of Him. And then it goes on and says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? What he was saying to that young rich ruler, he said, if you'll give all those things that you're in love with away, you'll really have true riches. He said, you'll have treasure in heaven. That doesn't mean when you die you'll get the treasure. It means those treasures flow out of heaven to you right now in this world. Aren't you thankful to know there's riches that are beyond the natural riches of this world? The riches that come in knowing the Lord and knowing the love of God and the fruit of the Spirit and all those blessings that are multiplied to us when we give up the things of this world, the mammon of unrighteousness. That's why he says in this verse, and we'll just close with this, he says, ye cannot serve God and mammon. We're to serve the Lord, and we're to encourage one another to serve the Lord. And when we get our eyes and start thinking about monetary things, natural things, those things of this world, that which you do have some need of, but the Lord will supply that. What did he say? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Sometimes if riches increase, we shouldn't set our affections upon them, but we should use them. Recognize if the Lord blesses you with something, it's really for you to give away to somebody else. It's really what you have. And the Lord blesses us to do that. And I'm going to stop. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. And God bless you. And we love you. And those little ones have been so good and patient. Bless your heart.